AM 750
WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors,
O'Neill Williams is your guide.
Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Girls, it's 6 minutes after the hour, and this is O'Neill Outside from the palatial studios of WSB Radio. A very special program today. The Georgia DNR is with us. We can talk to them. This is O'Neill. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. Oh, man, what a great day coming up. It's almost turkey season. We're talking about that today, and I hope you'll join us on the program. It's my pleasure, and because I owe everybody this, to tell you this program is brought to you by Tough Shed, Hayes Family of Automobile Dealership, Striplings, Bug Band, Bojangles, Rockwell Tools, Stone Mountain Toyota, Whitetail Institute, Fisher's Choice Baits, Balmer Outdoors, Destination America Television Network, FireAid 2000, and Arachnet. And we have with us today, we are so privileged, we have with us today Kevin Lowry. He's a state biologist, and he's a turkey guy. And Corporal Byron Young, he's with us. He's in law enforcement. And Sergeant Jason Robertson, and they are in North Georgia. And we are welcome to your questions about law enforcement, turkey populations, and all of those things. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, 800-972-8255. I'll get the crass commercial messages out of the way. Go to O'NeillOutside.com, the homepage. Click on the audience appreciation event, and it will give you a full description of the things that you could be in line to win. Being in July, and it's Big Green Egg and CVA muzzleloaders and coupons from Bass Pro Shop, big ones, $250 coupons, books, household supplies of FireAid, Game Saver, vacuum systems, and on and on and on, and you can enter every single day. And we have about 30,000 people that have done that. We want you to do that too. Telephone number is 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. So if you'd like to call to talk about turkey hunting, the law enforcement, those kind of things, then please give us a call. And I'll start it with this. Kevin, you're up. How many turkeys do we have in Georgia? he told me to leave that alone, so that's first, obviously.
So I think as most hunters would realize that the last 4 years or so, starting about 2012 to 2015, we haven't produced a whole lot of turkeys.
All right, and why?
Well, there's a lot of reasons potentially why, but it's probably a combination of things, whether it's weather variables, rainfall, drought in certain years, predation, all those things come together, and when it's right, it's right, and when it's not, they fail. And we just had a bad streak of luck here. So while we're not producing birds those 4 years, we were also harvesting at a pretty high level. So we weren't. So as John likes to, our chief likes to say, that those hens are our savings account that we earn interest on. That interest are those gobblers,
mm-hmm.
And we haven't been producing that interest, but we've been spending money.
Yeah,
and 2016 showed that harvest was down significantly in 2016. However, 2015 poult production was a little higher. 2016 it was the highest it's been since 2011. So we're optimistic that we're turning the corner a little bit and we're going to be on an upswing.
Mm-hmm. I think probably one of the things that has a great deal to do with it, there's a bunch of better hunters out there too.
That's true. That definitely helps, or hurts, depending on how you look at it.
As the case might be. Woman Williams is here to take your calls today, everyone. Telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. So let's go to our law enforcement officer just for a moment, Byron and Jason. And so let's somebody jump in here and tell me, what is the greatest violation that will occur during the turkey season?
One of the things we see the most sometimes is hunting without permission. It's very tempting, if you got permission to hunt 50 acres and a bird's gobbling across the line, to go chase it, because that's mm-hmm. part of it. The chase is what turkey hunting's all about.
Oh, yeah.
So we do get a lot of complaints during turkey season, hunting without permission, because it's tough, when you are on a small tract of land and birds are gobbling in the distance, you very tempted to go get them. But, you know, we discourage that, of course. We want you to stay on your own land.
Okay. How many, for instance, then for each one of you now, during the turkey season until May 13th, May 15th?
May 15th.
How many violations will you likely witness?
As a rule, we don't witness as many violations in turkey season as we do in deer season or some of the other times. A lot of times our turkey hunters seem to be a lot of our hardcore hunters that really know the laws and they try to follow them as a rule. So I would say the number of violations varies, obviously, depending on where you're working and just who you've got out there. But it's certainly something that happens and something we do chase a lot.
Oh, boy. I know Byron lives, or probably Jason lives in the area where we do. Gail and I do on Sassafras Mountain off Highway 136 in North Georgia. My problem up there is that it feels like you get out of the truck and you walk uphill, and when it's time to go back to the truck, you still walk uphill. Yes. You got to want to do that really bad. Really bad. All right, let's get to something from a biology standpoint here that I always bring up every year. It's 12 after the hour, and that is, what's nature's trigger that starts the breeding season?
That's a good question, especially with this warm weather we've been having. You'll get a lot of hunters thinking we need to start opening the season a little earlier, that they're going to be all gobbled out by the time the season opens. And while there's some truth to the fact that as ambient temperature increases, those gobblers start filling their oats a little bit. Those flocks start breaking up. They start strutting and they can gobble any time of year, but they'll start gobbling significantly more as that springtime approaches. But those hens are a little more hardwired to photo period. So that's day length. I mean, light period in the day. You know, so if they were queuing on just ambient temperature, they might be hatching eggs, you know, at any time of year, and not timing it with insect abundance and stuff like that. It wouldn't be a good survival mechanism. They wouldn't last very long.
No, they wouldn't.
So they're a little more hardwired. So even though the boys might be getting ready early, it's all dependent on when the girl's ready.
I know it's about 3 weeks ago. It was early one morning. I was leaving the cabin. Jason and it was still dark. I'm putting something in the truck. Who knows? You know, real, just barely gray light. This was 3 weeks ago. Strut, gobble. I could hear him. I bet he was still on the limb way over in the other valley. I thought, that's awfully early. Everybody's going to be fired up. You bet. All right, let's see, it's 14 after the hour. I have lots and lots of questions, but explain baiting. What's baiting, what's not? Let's let all these people understand that.
Well, baiting is placing any type of grain, feed, mineral, any supplemental feeding, basically, that is placed there for the wildlife to eat, and then hunting within the vicinity of it. You know, the turkey baiting laws are slightly different than the deer baiting laws. For deer, you have to be within 200 yards in line of sight. And for turkeys, it's just basically in the vicinity of. So we know that a lot of people run deer feeders year-round. They want to supplemental feed wildlife. We're fine with that as long as you are not hunting over or around that feed source.
It's awfully tempting.
It is. Sure makes it easy.
Oh, it's awfully tempting, yeah. I know a place I hunt, and I said, boy, we got plenty of birds down there. Well, it's the feeder down there. That's why. they're going to stop by every day.
They're coming every day like clockwork.
You bet. I know you guys are concerned about safety, okay, in law enforcement. You are too, Kevin, of course. But what would you tell us and the audience listening this morning, and they're listening all over the East Coast, what's the biggest safety risk in turkey hunting?
Probably the biggest safety risks are trying to make yourself identifiable to other hunters. You know, we as hunters want to be as camouflaged as we can, especially turkey hunting. And, you know, you don't want to do the things like wearing the black, the red, white, and blue. You know, you don't want to wear the colors that are going to be on a turkey. And So make yourself identifiable. I encourage people to have some type of bright clothing, whether it's an orange vest or something, not on when you're hunting, but if you see someone or hear someone calling close by where you can wave them down, you know. Another thing that Byron spoke about earlier was hunting without permission. There's, in my opinion, no type of hunting that's more dangerous when you're hunting without permission than turkey hunting, because you don't know if that bird you're stalking is actually another hunter.
Absolutely.
You're calling people to you. Another thing that we want to talk about is the fanning.
Oh, boy.
So if you're holding a turkey tail up, you know, in full strut and hiding behind it, it's probably not the safest act, especially on public land or lands where you're not sure who's around you.
And, you know, too, I think it's personally, but out of all of our hunts, turkey hunting, deer hunting, duck hunting, whatever it is, hog hunting and so on, the most heart-pounding action is when you think the gobbler's on his way.
Absolutely.
And everybody kind of loses focus a little bit or gets too highly focused. I have had a friend who was being stalked because he was fanning. And the turkey hunter had his gun leveled at him when he finally shouted.
And, of course, it's every hunter's responsibility to clearly identify your target. You know, it doesn't matter what you're hunting. So, on the other extreme, even if you're doing something unsafe, you got to know what you're shooting at.
Well, most people don't understand from a technique standpoint, and they don't discuss it much. Shot placement still plays a big role in turkey hunting. You're just not shooting at a bird.
That's right. So, especially with today's choke tubes. I mean, you're shooting a really tight pattern. You better.
Absolutely. What would you tell, that we're getting off subject for a minute, back into the advice column, but what would you say in the case of that shot placement, what's the biggest mistake? I have my own. What's the biggest mistake, mate, when they lay the shotgun on the target? I think it's because you put the head right in the middle of the target. That guarantees you're going to miss half.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss half the pattern if the center of the target is his head, right?
Yeah. I know a lot of guides that say aim at the body because, you're going to kill that turkey hitting it in the body like that.
Yeah.
You're not, especially close, with their clients. They don't want them to miss, you know, with that tight choke. So aim at the body
or
at least where the body meets the neck.
I know that I know some friends who they're getting out there 60 yards now with the patterns with these top big chokes. All right, we have more with the Department of Natural Resources. This is O'Neill. I forgot about the break. Jason, I'm sorry. This is O'Neill. We'll be back.
I once asked a mighty hunter coming home from the field how he came to possess such mighty hunting and fishing skill. He said, I'll tell you a secret, son. I learned everything I know from listening to O'Neill Outside on my radio. O'Neill, O'Neill, O'Neill Outside. From the mountains, lakes, and rivers to the woodlands and the fields, he's rambling around the country with his guns and rods and reels. So sit back there in that easy chair if you want to have a thrill. Another great outdoor adventure of traveling with O'Neill. O'Neill, O'Neill, O'Neill Outside. O'Neill, O'Neill, O'Neill Outside.
Welcome back, everyone. 36 after the hour. This is in the midst of our semi-annual visit with the Department of Natural Resources. I have Kevin Lowry, Corporal Byron Young, and Sergeant Jason Robertson, and we're talking turkey hunting. And the telephone numbers are, because Woman Williams is here. Yes, she's been waiting to visit the studio. We are at WSB today. So take the time to call with your questions. Before we get to the youth hunts, which we want to talk about, we have a caller on line number 6, and it's Mike. And he's calling from North Carolina. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What do you say?
I've got a question for Kevin about turkey behavior. I know a lot of birds raise more than one family in the summer. Do turkeys do that? They have like a second rut. We were driving down the road several years ago, and there was a gobbler and a hen in the middle of the road. He was strutting and gobbling, and it was in July.
How about that? Kevin?
Right. So the short answer is no. They don't have more than one clutch. If they're successful, they won't have another clutch. But if they're not successful, they've actually, in some research we just got finished doing in South Georgia, we actually documented a couple of hens that actually tried three times and had three different nests. But so the first two got destroyed. She tried again in July, and it wasn't successful either. But as if they're successful once, they won't raise another clutch.
Interesting. How about that, Mike?
That's interesting. I was wondering why. It was just really weird to see it in July.
Well, everything is not exacting. I know it was not. Well, I was on a quail hunt, a visit to a quail plantation here about 4 years ago, and it was the 1st of June, and I saw a buck in full rack still in the last part of June. He hadn't dropped anything yet. He was chasing a doe. So there's always some surprises along the way. Good luck to you, Mike.
Thank you.
You bet. There you are. And I pushed the wrong button. There we are. Now I got the right button. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We have time first, before we get to the other callers, to speak to Byron. What's going on this weekend that you want to tell us about?
This weekend is our special opportunity with turkey season, youth season. It's just the March the 18th and 19th. So it's just Saturday and Sunday. Doesn't run the whole week. But special season this week for ages 16 and under, and any mobility impaired person can hunt this weekend.
Okay. Do you have to have a license if you're under 16?
No.
Okay. I knew that, but I thought I'd let you tell me.
That's right. And, you know, adults can go with the youth on these hunts, but, of course, the youth are the only ones that can actually harvest a turkey.
Yeah.
And I think this is our third year, and it's been a good opportunity for the youngsters to get out.
Been successful?
Yes. Yes, we've seen a lot of people get out. And, you know, the big part of it is your family. And, you know, I had people taking me fishing when I was a kid, taking me hunting. So it's good that the state went to this a few years ago and gives everybody an opportunity to get out there early with the kids.
So the results in participation has been satisfactory?
I would think so.
Good.
From what I've seen, a lot of people are taking advantage of it.
All right, great, good, excellent. Now, hey, here's our old buddy Milton Crabapple. Good morning, Milton.
O'Neill.
Hey.
Milton Crabapple.
Yes, sir.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Got a room full of experts here this morning. What do you got going on?
Well, I got a turkey question myself.
Okay.
Now, the place where I've been hunting turkeys is up in Cherokee County.
Okay.
Now, for years and years, you could ride up the road, and there's big fields on the left and big fields on the right. There's several hundred acres, and there's two big flocks of turkeys. Just about any time you went by, you could look off down the river bottom on the left and see a big flock of turkeys way off down yonder. And then on the other side, you could see them. The fellow that lived there said they'd just been there for years, them two big flocks of turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the past several years, them things have disappeared, and there ain't a turkey on that property.
I see.
The fella ain't seen a turkey now in several years. And at your puzzle, they disappeared right quick. And I was wondering if you, now there's fields and seems to be plenty for them to eat. There's acorns, lots of white oak trees around them fields on the ridges, but them turkeys are gone. And there's lots of deer up there.
Okay.
Reckon what happened to them turkeys?
What happened, Kevin?
Well, it's hard to say without me seeing the property and looking at it, but I mean, you know, habitat doesn't stay static, and what might appear to be the same, that probably has some subtle changes that could have occurred and may be a limiting factor. But, you know, honestly, you get some of those isolated populations that may not have a lot of immigration from other populations, and once you don't produce birds for a few years, I mean, you know, a gobbler survival and a hen survival isn't in forever, so they're eventually going to blink out in there if they don't have more influx of turkeys, and that's real common in some of these more urban interface areas where you got pockets of good habitat with a lot of bad habitat around it.
I got you. So they just die.
Well, that beats all, because there wasn't nobody hunting them.
Right. Well, I mean, if we don't produce them, then they're going to, you know, and if they've had some hard luck trying to raise poults here lately, so And then, you know, you got every other possibility out there, too. With, I mean, there could be a predator issue or poaching issue.
Yeah, you know, could be. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Well, it might have, could have been, I reckon. But, you know, I like to hunt them turkeys myself. They're lots of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be really smart to kill a turkey.
Yes.
You got to know what you're doing. Lots of folks come to me for turkey hunting advice, mm-hmm. you know. And I was telling a fella the other day about the time I was walking through the woods. Now, I'd done give up on them that morning. It was kind of late in the morning. I hadn't heard nothing. And I was walking through the woods, and all of a sudden I heard a turkey gobble. And it sounded like he was real close, but I just couldn't quite see him, so I just decided to get myself hid real quick. And I looked around, and there wasn't much of a place to hide. It was kind of in the open, but there's a big old oak tree had blown down several years before, and it was just laying on the ground, a big, great big oak tree, and I just laid down behind the part of the trunk of that tree.
Right.
And I hit my collar, and I could hear him fire back, and I said, well, he's coming in. And all of a sudden, everything got quiet, and I didn't want to stick my head up on account of I knew if I stuck my head up, if he was close, he'd see me. But now there's about 6 inches from where that tree fell underneath it, where it wasn't touching the ground. I laid down and looked up underneath that tree out from under it, and I could see that turkey standing on the other side of that tree. Weren't more than a couple of feet away, and I just run my arm under there and grabbed him by the feet.
Okay.
Well, I'm telling you, that turkey went to thrashing and a hollering and a squirrel. I thought he was going to twist my arm off. But the tree was so big, I couldn't reach over it with my other arm to get a hold of him. Well, I was in a mess hanging onto that turkey's feet and him a-flopping. I didn't know what to do. Finally, I got so wore out, I couldn't hang on to him any longer, so I got me a plan. What I did was I got my shotgun in my other hand, and then I just let go of him and called him around to the other side of the log, and I shot him when he come around. The
oh,
other
yeah,
side.
Right. That's right. Oh, boy.
Yes, sir.
That's good calling right there, Milton.
I'm telling you.
Hey, Milton, I want to invite you to go on a turkey hunt with me.
Well, I'll go. What time are you going to pick me up? I need to get my stuff ready.
Well, let's do it in April. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
You're booked. I'm going to take Milton turkey hunting.
Excellent. Well, y'all got a good show going this morning. I'm listening.
Mighty fine. Glad you called, Milton.
Much obliged.
You bet. See you later. All right, let's talk to Ross. He's calling from Villarica. Good morning, Ross.
Hey, O'Neill. How you been?
Lovely.
Hey, I've got a question. I've kind of talked to Travis before about it, and it's really the age of a turkey. You want to know how old a turkey, an eastern turkey, will live, and spurling length. I figured that's about the only way to tell the age of a turkey, because once they get 2 year old, they get the full fan, and you know, they weigh about the same as a older gobbler. But I've killed some spurs, you know, inch and a half and up, but I just want to know how old that turkey probably is.
Kevin, help us with that.
Right. So from no spur to about a half an inch, you know, that's a first year turkey, a Jake. And so from a half an inch to about an inch and an eighth, inch and a quarter, they consider usually that's going to be a two-year-old bird.
Right.
And then from an inch and a quarter to an inch and a half-ish is what they consider to be a three-year-old bird. And it, you know, it's very subjective at that point. But so then if you're over an inch and a half, you're probably dealing with at least a four-year-old, you know, a four-year-old gobbler, and you really can't tell any more than that.
About a four-year-old. What's the lifespan of an eastern wild turkey?
You know, for a hen, 1.5 years, mm-hmm. actually. For a gobbler, it's much longer.
Maybe?
Probably 5 years at the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're tough. I know they can live in a Walmart parking lot.
And have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely have. What else?
I never knew a hen lived only a year and a half, though. That's interesting.
I mean, that's the average. You know, so, you know, hen mortality can be in some populations as high as 50%.
Because they're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stay by the nest. Is that the?
As well, when they're on the ground nesting, they're definitely vulnerable. most vulnerable. Yeah.
Well, great. Thanks for answering my question.
Interesting question. Good luck to you this season, pal.
Heading out to Alabama this morning. Thanks, O'Neill.
Mighty fine. All right. Good idea. 46 after the hour, and here's Bill. Is calling from Gainesville. Go on, Bill.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill.
Hey,
everybody's doing well this morning.
Thank you.
Just a couple comments. One, I've got a farm down in Meriwether County. It borders Flint with Pike County, and there's quite a few birds generally in Pike County, but we don't see that many in Meriwether County, believe it or not. The other thing I just want to mention to everybody, as dry as it's been, I'm not a hunter. I'm a looker, but I'm teaching my grandsons to hunt and gun safety and you name it, and I love looking at them, and I provide a water source when the little creeks dry up, and everybody needs to think about that as well as a food plot.
Good anyway, idea.
That's it. All right, just a question about is there county to county? I mean, is there a reason there's more over in Pike than Meriwether County? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks for calling, pal. Kevin?
It all boils down to habitat. So, yeah. I mean, the habitat's either good or it's not.
And, or it changes.
Or it changes.
It changes.
And I don't know those county specifically and what they, you know, what they look like, but I'm sure there's some subtle differences there.
Oh yeah. All right, we need to go to a break, but I have a question when we come back, and that is, what about the hogs? Does that affect the turkey population? We'll be back. Now, more of O'Neill Williams. 58 degrees. It's warm. It's 52 after the hour. We're being visited by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources. Very simple question for you guys in law enforcement. Who pays for all this?
The sportsmen. Sportsmen and women of the state. They're our licensed hunters and fishermen. They pay for every bit of it.
Yeah. Via?
Via hunting license sales, as well as some excise taxes through sporting-related equipment.
That's right. We pay our own way, don't we, boys?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know that all too often the answer is, and I bring that subject up as often as I can in mixed company, and the usually it's just taxes. Taxes.
That's right.
Well, yeah, it is, but very specifically targeted volunteer taxes, really, is it not?
Absolutely.
And do we get our money's worth?
I would say we get more than our money's worth.
Mm-hmm. If all of the state and federal governments worked as efficiently as the DNR, then taxes would go down all over the country. You guys don't waste anything. Okay. Let's see. We've got time to talk about this because of the increase in hog population. The hogs affecting the deer population. Anybody?
The deer or the turkeys?
I'm sorry, turkey population.
So with turkeys, I think while they might not be a huge limiting factor, they definitely eat turkey eggs. When they find them opportunistically, I'm not sure how successful they are at finding them, but they definitely eat them when they find them. And then I think, you know, they outcompete them for sure for resources like acorns and other food. And then probably territorially, they push them out of areas.
Absolutely. I've been sitting behind a blind to cover my feet and see hogs walk into the food plot and the turkeys leave.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think they do that a lot. And I think they do it with deer. They do it with other animals, too. So I'm sure that's the same with turkeys.
Yeah, sure enough. All right, let's talk. What else can we get into, boys, in our law enforcement side? We know if we see some, if you happen to be on a baited spot, we leave. Okay? Be careful and with your fanning if you try that. All right, does fanning work?
I've never personally tried it, but, you know, you see it on TV all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely works.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
The question is, how far are we going to take it? You know, now we're getting full body decoys that clip on your gun barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think there's got to be some common sense there for the hunter's part. It's risk reward.
I got to, you know, that's fun. Fanning is fun. All right, it is a new deal. But to me, calling the bird, tricking him into coming where you are, that's the challenge. That's the part. That's the hunt. Pulling the trigger on a turkey is no big deal. 25 yards away, so what? Okay? And there's some fine-tuning in that. But to me, getting him to break out of his normal routine. As a matter of fact, I think the turkey is the greatest big-game animal in North America. You have to be adept and talented at more things to be a successful turkey hunter than any other single animal in North America.
Right. I would agree with that. I think it's that interactive part of it where you're calling to them and they're responding that makes turkey hunting so special. But I think as hunters, you know, it's easy to see why fanning and reaping's appealing. I mean, because we haven't experienced that kind of aggression from those gobblers running in, totally unaware, because there's you know, this is the bird that's been hung up at 250 yards to our calling for all these years, and all of a sudden he's running into us. This stuff, it seems like a Christmas present.
That's exactly right.
But there are some dangers that go with it.
Yeah, indeed. Let's go back to this. We've got time. Let's go back to this youth hunt. Okay. What's that been going on? 3 years? Four?
I think this is the third year.
Third year.
Maybe we're going into the fourth. The one thing we didn't mention earlier, it does not apply to public land.
Mm-hmm.
So your wildlife management areas are off limits, just on private land only.
Okay. Still under control. How many acres of public land wildlife management areas do we have in the state?
It's almost a million.
Million acres.
990-something thousand.
Is it fully utilized?
I'd say there's somebody on every acre.
There's somebody on there.
Yeah. Honestly, it's not a hunting-wise, there's probably not as much it's not as crowded as most people would think. I mean, on most of our WMAs. I mean, and a lot of them are really underutilized as far as I would say so. With certain species, especially turkeys.
Oh, yeah, for that. 404-872-0750-800 WSB Talk. It's time for us to get out of here. Top of the hour news, weather, sports, and traffic with Charlie O'Brien. Then more Georgia DNR. And we're here for your questions. Where they are. All I do is BS. This is O'Neill.